Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the New Year's Eve edition of the From the Shadows podcast. I am your host, not Dick Clark, but Shane Grove. And with me, as always, is the is close to Ryan Seacrest as it gets, the super producer, Jason.
Greetings, everyone.
I'm kind of disappointed, Jason. You should have given it the old 3, 2, 1, like the countdown.
No,
since this is the New Year's Eve show, I mean,
well, the ball is still up high right now, so I'm going to worry about it.
Well, we want to welcome all our listeners. I'd like to say, so it is already the new year somewhere in the world for some of our listeners.
Indeed, it is.
But for those who it's still New Year's Eve, thank you for spending your New Year's Eve with us. And all that tells me is that you either couldn't get the reservation at the place that you really wanted, or nobody likes you and you're just sitting at home all by yourself. Like me and Jason will be doing on New Year's Eve. Right? I'm assuming. I mean, I don't know. Am I dragging you down with me, Jason?
Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I won't be going anywhere. No, some of us have work to do. A producer's work is never done, unfortunately. Work is never
done. Well, we hope everybody's recovered from last weekend and Christmas and opening gifts and spending a lot of time with family and stuff. And if you are listening to us on your way out to celebrate, please celebrate safely. If you're listening to this after the New Year's, then I guess you did celebrate safely, and Happy New Year. Right, Jason?
That's right. That's what I was going to say. Congratulations on another safe one behind you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, as we look back on our year in review, we've had a pretty exciting year at the From the Shadows podcast. We've done some things that we, probably never saw coming, and we're going to be part of some things in the new year that we never saw coming. So we're glad everybody that listens to us is going on the ride with us doing some of this cool stuff. So
yeah, we really do appreciate your support, everybody. And
yeah, we really do.
Let's get this guest going. This sounds great. You're going to love this,
because,
everybody.
Because I know she wants to get out and party. So, because after all, we've already established her ties to Kool and the Gang, and their greatest hit, Celebration, is a must song on New Year's Eve. So joining us from South Bend, Indiana, is Joanna. Welcome, Joanna.
Hello. Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show, Joanna. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you for spending New Year's Eve with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it'll be super fun.
Jason, I don't think she sounds very excited. I don't know.
Oh, sure she is. Sure she is. Tell you that. Now, we're going to hand her the reins, and we're going to just sit back, and we're going to turn it over to her.
So Joanna, we're going to put the spotlight on you right now.
Okay.
And so if you want to tell our listeners how you came to find us, which I think is a funny story, and in and of itself, and then let's hear about your experience.
All right. Well, I found you guys. I'm a Wes fan. I listen to Sasquatch Chronicles religiously, and so I was on their page, and Wes shared a link to one of your episodes, and this lady commented on it, like, clearly upset by you guys, I think, and upset about your humor, which she made it sound like it was horrible and offensive. And so I was like, I have to check this out because I love horrible, offensive humor, so it's got to be good. So I right away listened, and I've been listening ever since.
So you're admitting that our humor is offensive and terrible.
You know, I don't even find it that offensive, but I guess, you know, if you're not a funny person, it's offensive. I don't know.
Well, thank you for coming on board and being a part of the From the Shadows podcast family, Joanna.
Oh, I mean,
the only thing we've ever done offensive is the live stream of Jason without a shirt on. But that got cut off quick, and we moved on.
We had a psychic on that day. It. Yeah, we had a psychic on that day. She called me out.
You haven't heard that episode yet where she says, she's, oh my God, it's fantastic. She says, you know, one of you guys is naked, or at least not wearing a shirt. And she goes,
really?
Yeah. And she goes, it's you, isn't it, Jason? And he just goes, yeah, I'm not wearing a shirt. I was like, what?
So like I'm in a studio. I don't have to be.
I didn't know we had a hot tub in the studio. I have to admit. So I need to hang out in the studio.
You don't need to know about that.
Jeez. So Joanna, you're a big fan of Wes's, which everybody that is into Bigfoot is, I think. I mean, if you really want to hear some good stuff. So what made you become a fan of Wes's?
So basically, the summer of 2020, I'm from Chicago originally. We live in South Bend. We're city people. But a few years back, we discovered the Western Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and we like to go up there and camp. We've always camped. And so, for the last few years, we go up to the UP and camp. We tent camp. And so summer of 2020, we were up there tent camping and kind of doing our usual stuff. And we went to this little beach that's kind of like tucked away in the woods that really only the locals know about. And so we went there, and we found these huge footprints, like huge. And my husband is a size 13 shoe, and these footprints were at least 3 or 4 inches bigger than his. And so we were just kind of like, oh, that's weird. And, you know, we joked around, oh, maybe there's a Bigfoot, you know? And so we just kind of laughed it off because Bigfoot really didn't exist in our world. Like, we had, in Chicago, nobody talks about Bigfoot, or, you know, it just doesn't exist. And so we laughed it off and carried on. And a little bit later, I think it might have been the next day, we went hiking, and up in the UP where we are, people just pull over on the side of the road and walk into the woods, and you can just go, you know. And so we found a little opening to a trail on the side of the road near our campground and pulled over, and we're like, let's go check it out. So we walked into the woods, and it was along the beach too. And we had our two kids with us. They're 9 and 11. And so we're hiking, and it was really eerie in there. It didn't sound or feel like it usually did in the woods. It was really quiet. I just felt, I don't know how to explain it. I just felt weird. I felt creeped out. I didn't really feel good there. But we kept going, and we were walking a good, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes down this trail, and all out of nowhere, we heard this growl. And it was like this super deep, it wasn't loud, but it was deep and guttural. It stopped us completely in our tracks, and we froze. And it was just the one growl, and we stopped and listened, and it was still dead silent. And so my husband was like, turn around, you know, and just start walking out of here. So me and my two kids started walking out, and he walked behind us, but facing behind us. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was facing behind us so that if it was a predator, whatever, you know, he's turned around. And so I could not get out of there fast enough. And I'll still say to this day, I've never felt that kind of fear in my life, because at that, hearing the size of that growl, that we could feel it, I realized I couldn't protect my kids from whatever that was, you know, and I felt really helpless. And so we got the hell out of there. And again, we didn't really think about it or talk about it. It was kind of like, what was that? You know, that was not a bear, and that was not a mountain lion. I have no clue what that was. But we carried on with our day, and now that I say it, it sounds kind of dumb. We decided to continue hiking, and so we went down the road a little bit to, it's called Sugarloaf Mountain, and it's a pretty popular spot to hike and stuff. And again, it's all on, along Lake Superior. So we were hiking. It was like the middle of the day. And we're hiking up. And as we got closer to the top, I was walking with my daughter. And my husband was walking with my son. And we had kind of split up a little bit. And so my daughter and I could hear this breathing, grunting. I can't even explain what it was. But it was this super deep, rhythmic, I want to say growling, but at the same time, it was just a lot, very breathy. And so we stopped and we listened, and it was coming from the woods, obviously. And so we both just kind of stopped and, you know, pointed our ears to the woods and listened, and it just kept going. And it was pretty bizarre, but there were some other people walking up the trail. And I asked them, I was like, what is that? And they said they didn't know. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. Nobody else seems concerned. So we kept hiking up. And as we got to the top, we heard this sound that my husband later described as somebody hitting a tree with a hollow piece of wood, which at the time meant nothing to us. You know, we had never heard of wood knocks or anything, but that's what it sounded like. And we could not figure out where it was coming from. I mean, we're in this super remote part of the UP. There's nobody around. There's nothing. There's the lake and then the woods. And we could not pin it down. And so we just listened for a while, and it would kind of stop and start. We looked, it wasn't the boats, there was nothing. So we were pretty confused by it, but I mean, what are you going to do? So we carried on with our day. Well, a few months later, I had a client who I've known for years, and he has a podcast. And so somehow we got, I think he was doing an episode on Bigfoot. And so I mentioned the footprints we saw. And I was kind of laughing about it. And he's like, well, let me see them. Because I took pictures of them because they were so huge. So I sent them to him. And he was like, those might not be human. And I just kind of like was like, okay, whatever. You know, and he's like, no, really. And the footprints were in like a straight line. You know what I mean? They weren't side by side really. And there was a few feet in between each track, which at the time I didn't know meant anything. But he pointed that out to me. And he was like, you know, it could have been a Bigfoot. And I just kind of, whatever, still didn't mean anything to me. And so then he kept trying to tell me, get more information from me about it, about what we saw in the woods and everything. And so he was finally like, okay, all right, listen to my podcast. And just see and listen to other podcasts. Just listen to people's encounters. So I listened to his podcast. And then that's when I found Sasquatch Chronicles. Because someone, I'd heard it mentioned somewhere and popped it on. And I think I probably listened to it for like 12 hours the first day. And I heard about wood knocks. And I heard about the sounds they make, the growling, the grunting, you know, the tracks. And so little by little, as I listened every day, I started kind of piecing it together. And I didn't say anything to my husband at the time because I was still of the mentality that Bigfoot really doesn't exist. But all of these things we heard and saw and experienced, I was hearing that in like every encounter I was listening to, there was some element, shared element. And so I started talking to my client, Eric, more about it and asking him questions and, you know, learning more about Bigfoot. And kind of very slowly came to the conclusion that, well, why couldn't Bigfoot exist? Why couldn't there be Sasquatch? I couldn't think of any reason. Couldn't think of any logical reason as to why it could not exist. You know, they're biological creatures and they eat and they sleep and poop and hunt and everything like that. So when I couldn't give myself a reason to deny their existence, that's when I kind of really opened up my mind. And so I did finally eventually mention it to my husband, and we had never talked about Bigfoot, so I didn't know if he believed in them or not. And I mentioned it to him, and he was like, yeah, maybe it was. So he kind of surprised me with how open to it he was. And so then Eric he introduced me to a guy named James Lady, who he runs the Michigan Aboriginal Project, and he spends all his time up in the very same woods as we were in. And he's up there all the time researching and recording and taking pictures, and that's what he does. And I couldn't believe, first off, I couldn't believe there was another person who even knew where we were, because nobody's ever been able to point on a map to where we go camping because it's so remote.
Well, how many, you told me the other day, what is there, 31 people?
In the Big Bay, it's 183, I think.
183, okay. Okay.
Yeah, and that's
the population of the nearest town.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the town, you know, is, use that word loosely, because it really, all that there is this gas station, but it's also a grocery store, and it's also a coffee shop and a laundromat. You know what I mean? Like, it's all in
place. Oh, yeah.
Because that's it. That's the spot you go for.
And you can probably rent you could probably rent some VHS tapes and buy some lottery tickets. And that's
you could do it. You could. They got putt-putt. I mean, they got everything at this
spot. Oh, they see, sure now you're just talking. You're just talking crazy now. Expect us to believe they have putt-putt up there. Yeah. That's, so I get it. I mean, yeah, that's your way up there. So this gentleman, the lady guy.
James Lady, yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of encounters and experiences has he had or that he has cataloged that are similar to, like, how about the footprints? Because I've seen the picture. You sent me the picture of the footprints. And right. So does he also have other pictures on the beach of possible footprints and stuff? Or
He doesn't. I haven't seen any from the beach. He really spends his time in the woods, I think, typically on the other side of the highway. There's just one road, you know, and we're on the lake side and he's on the other side. But it's the same woods. He actually camps at the campground we camp at, but he has a ton of audio. And I remember after my husband and I talked to him, James Lady, he's like, just check out the stuff on my YouTube. So I did. And he has all these recordings of howls and growls and all that. And he's got tons of them. And I remember we clicked one and it was a growl and we both kind of froze and looked at each other, because it triggered the memory. It was the exact same growl we heard. And it, like, triggered something, you know, when you're like, oh, holy shit. And so we were kind of shocked by that. And again, it's like every little piece coming together kind of solidified, you know, believing that what we encountered was Sasquatch. And so, yeah, so James Lady has a ton, it's mostly audio. He does have a lot of photographs of structures he's found in the woods up there. So it's mostly audio and photos of their structures. But so from there, after we heard that growl, and I was kind of like, okay, this is, you know, this really could be it. We looked at the BFRO website and found, I think, three encounters. One from on Sugarloaf Mountain, which is where we heard the wood knocks and the breathing, grunting. Another one from near where we were hiking when we heard the growl. And then another one, you know, down a little more. But two of the three encounters were literally right where we were when we had both the encounters. And our encounters were the same day, like an hour apart. You know, it was really close together.
So you guys have, now this is a place you guys have gone year after year after year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. We're there every summer.
Okay. So how many people, like, you're going during the summer, which is probably peak time for out of towners. Right. How many people are even camping there when you guys go there?
I mean, it's a pretty tiny campground. I'm not really sure how many campsites there are. But even, like, when we went this past summer, there was almost nobody there. So it's really kind of hit or miss. But it's not a real big, busy campground.
Well, so, you know? So the point I'm trying to get to, that is, there's not that many people camping or even hiking probably there, but yet look at how many experiences there are for how few people. Like, if you've had an experience and there's four and there's three other that have been reported, well, how many, I mean,
how many
go unreported, and you're not talking about 10,000 people going through there probably in the summer. You know, it's not a national park. So,
and that's the thing, is, you know, we have always seen up there, like, people have Bigfoot signs in their properties, and, you know, it's real Bigfooty up there, which we always just thought was just because they were up in the north, you know.
Now, Joanna, if you're going to be in the Bigfoot family, it's squatchy up there. Don't say Bigfooty. You might offend somebody.
Oh, it's God, gonna, can you edit that out?
No. Oh, no, no, no.
Edit that out.
No,
I don't want to get, you know, eaten alive on Facebook.
Listen, I think the lady who, maybe the lady will get on Sasquatch Chronicles if Wes shares this episode and just say, oh, my God, I can't believe Joanna misspoke that way.
I know. Sure. Yeah. If I'm going to get torn apart, it'll be from Wes's people.
Wait. We love Wes's people. Let's not.
I am Wes's people.
Hey, just full disclosure. The lady that was tearing us apart was a From the Shadows podcast person too. She listened to all our shows, was a member of our Facebook pages. And,
so weird.
I know. It's like she knew me. It's like she really did know me.
I've met a lot of cool people on, you know, his Facebook page. So I'm not saying anything bad, but.
Oh, no, no. Wes is fantastic. He has, and I've said it a million times, I'll say it again, he's done so much for our show, bringing us a much bigger audience than we might even have if he didn't, you know, tell people about us. So we're totally appreciative of, I mean, we got you.
Yeah, he's
we got
top notch.
Because of us. Yeah. So you've listened, you've gone and listened to those audio tapes by the, I got to keep saying lady guy, cause that just sounds funny.
James Lady.
The lady gentleman.
Right. That's the one.
So, I mean, think about this. You could have been listening to the exact same creature that you heard.
Right. And that's what freaked both of us out, because we instantly recognized it. You know, out of all the growls we were listening to, that one, we both recognized right away.
So you guys are, for being city slickers, are pretty, you know, you go camping, you go hiking. So what made you think, though, right away that it wasn't a bear or a mountain lion or a cougar or something like that?
Just the sound of it. The sound. It wasn't.
Have you heard those other animals out there while you've been camping and hiking or not?
No, not out there. Okay. But we've seen wolves. We saw wolves there before. But in the summertime, one of the local park workers we met a couple of years ago, he said the bears really kind of stay away in the summer because there's so many people, and I'm doing quotation marks.
More people than they're used to. More people than they're used
exactly.
to.
Yeah, exactly. And he said they go up into the mountains and hide basically during the summer because there's too many humans. And there hasn't been a cougar sighting since, I don't know, there's only been two up there. And it's been a while. And it just didn't sound like one, you know? Yeah. I mean, this was like so deep. You know what I can compare it to? Is an alligator growl.
Oh, my.
Is what it sounded like.
It's definitely not an alligator.
I'm familiar with the alligator.
I promise you, it's not. Every time I hear it, it like gives me chills because that's what it sounded like. But that's what it sounded like. It was really low.
They kind of resonate through you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was scary. It was really scary. But yeah, that's what the growl sounded like. And then when we heard that growl on YouTube, it was like, okay, that's it, you know? And it took like a year for me to like accept the fact that it was probably a Bigfoot, you know, because it's like your mind, you have to retrain your brain to believe something that you thought didn't exist. So it's hard to like come to terms with that, I guess, unless you have a visual sighting of one, you know, you have to put the pieces together. It took me a while to be able to say what I'm saying now. I mean, my husband and I didn't even talk about it for like 9 months. We never mentioned it to each other.
So let me ask, so how old are your kids?
My kids are now 10 and 12. They're so 10 were and 12 they, now.
Were they old enough at the, well, that's only been a couple years ago, right?
Were just 9 and 11, yeah. Summer.
So did they have any reaction to what was going on, or were they just oblivious?
No, and I think it's because my husband and I played it so cool because they were there, and we didn't panic or tell, we didn't outwardly say, you should be scared. You know, we wanted to keep them calm. And so, but they do remember everything we heard, and they do remember the footprints, but they don't remember being afraid, and they don't remember us being afraid. But it's funny because I remember they were laughing at me and making fun of me when we were leaving because I was speed walking, you know? And they were like teasing me, like, look at mommy. I'm like, man, if only you knew. But they do remember the sounds.
So have they heard you guys classify that experience as a possible Bigfoot experience?
Yeah. Now they have, yeah.
And what do they know about Bigfoot? Because, I mean, I remember what I knew about Bigfoot at 10 and 11, you know.
Right. Well, they didn't know anything. If I asked them, you know, 2 years ago, what is Bigfoot or what does Bigfoot look like? They couldn't tell you.
Good but grief. Now, what are they teaching kids in school these days? That's a shame.
I mean, we are in Indiana.
Hey, Indy has a lot of sightings, trust me. So it's now, did you go back this summer to that same place?
We did, yeah, we did. We did not go hiking.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We did not.
Okay, so I mean, because it's kind of fresh and new. And I mean, listen, most of the times when we hear sightings, there's not really kids involved with parents. Either kids right. have – either somebody's telling a sighting they had as kids or
right.
it's adults telling us. It's never – you know, so yeah. how does that change then your feelings about going out there and camping? Well, I mean, going out there and hiking.
Sorry. That's one of the frustrating things is, I mean, I'm also scared of a bear or mountain lion, you know. Yeah. But apparently we're more likely to run into a Sasquatch than a bear where we go. But just that feeling I felt when we were getting out of there of panic and not being able, I remember just, I kept thinking to myself as we were getting out of the woods, thinking I could not protect my kids right now. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to protect them from whatever's out here. And, you know, that feeling has stayed with me. And it sucks because they love the UP. They love hiking. They love the mountain, you know. And so I'm the one who's kind of like, I don't know if we should do it. But then again, you know, Bigfoot, it doesn't sound like Bigfoot really just attacks people or kids from all the encounters I've heard.
It doesn't. And what's kind of, and I think Jason will, the episode that will have played on Christmas Eve has some really interesting encounters from that eyewitness. Mm-hmm. I
absolutely, you know, make sure you check it out.
Yeah, make sure. When it comes to kids and it's interesting. We're having this conversation with you and your thoughts and stuff from what we just heard. So.
Well, now I can't wait to hear it.
So is your husband, is he more like, yeah, let's go. What's the worst can happen? I mean,
no, he's like me, I think. He didn't suggest hiking this last summer. But I think it's just a matter of being better prepared mentally.
Yep.
And, you know, and just being like, okay, we're going to go do this. I mean, there's no reports of a family of four going missing, you know, on these trails. And so I think he's in the same boat as I am. He's probably a little more willing to go back there than I am right now. But I know I can't just, I mean, that's what we do. We go up there and we're going to be buying land up there. So it's like, I have to get over it. You know I do, for their sake, especially because I don't want to stop them from doing something they love because of my fears. Because they're kind of like, if there's Bigfoot, whatever. You know, they're not scared at all.
I love it. I love
it. And I'm like, say that now. But they listen to your show and they listen to Sasquatch Chronicles and stuff when they're at work with me. So they actually have a pretty good.
Who's their favorite? Who's their favorite, me or Jason? I just want to know.
They told me I can't answer that.
Oh, man.
They told me I'm not allowed to answer that.
Jason, she's going to say the Ozark Howler. That's what she's going to say, that he is the favorite.
I mean, that's my favorite.
Listen, he's everybody's favorite. We know. Jason and I know.
He's hilarious. Well, my husband has never heard your guys' podcast, and when I told him we were going to do this, he pulled up your podcast, and I was like, put on one of the Howler episodes.
Oh, dear God.
And I was like, you'll like him. So we were listening to that. He's funny.
I know. I know my role with him is just to play the straight man.
Right.
And put it on a tee for him. Because that's right. He's going to do it anyway. So I just got to let him do it. I'm just going to let him do it. But
no, I love it.
So you're going to buy land. You're going to buy land up there, huh?
Yeah, that's our goal, is to buy a property up there where we can just go in the summer and the fall, you know. And I'm like, what if it's squatchy, you know?
Ooh,
and,
I like it. I like it.
I'm like, what am I going to do? Just never go back? Because.
No, that's going to be perfect if it's squatchy.
Yeah, well, I'll rent it out to, you know, the Bigfoot, what do they call themselves? Researchers.
Mm-hmm.
And we can lease it out to them when we're not there.
There you go. Perfect.
Make calls to their heart's content.
Well, I think the one really amazing thing is how you just were oblivious and had no clue what this was.
No way. I mean, I saw Harry and the Hendersons when I was a kid and then never thought of it again. I mean, now I had never seen the Patterson-Gimlin film. Actually, I never heard of Patty until this last year.
Wow.
Nothing. I mean, I didn't know it existed until this year. And I really didn't know anything about it. It just, like I said, in Chicago, nobody's talking about Bigfoot and anything like that. So it just wasn't in our vocabulary. And even when we moved here, which is a little more country where we are, but still, you know, nobody really talked about it. If we go over the border to Michigan, we're right on the Michigan border, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But over there, everybody knows about Bigfoot. But
and Dogman. Don't sell Dogman.
And Dogman. Right. Can't forget him. He's always come second to Bigfoot.
But, well, the further up you get in Michigan, that becomes Dogman territory. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'll cross that Dogman when I get to it. I have to come to grips with Bigfoot first.
Yes.
But,
yes.
But then I found there was a sighting in South Bend. A Bigfoot sighting in South Bend. And I was just baffled.
There was? Like within the city limits?
Within the city limits.
You sure it wasn't just Rudy trying to get a second chance at attention?
Rudy is like 5 foot nothing and 100 nothing. It couldn't have been him. But yeah, well, you know, the middle of South Bend is like a city, but the outskirts of the city are country. So where the sighting was, it's near some woods, but it was mostly cornfields here. So I don't know. I think that person made it up, or, and it's the only one from the area. There's no other reports from here, but I was just so confused as to why there'd be a Bigfoot in the cornfields here. But
are you able to determine like the area? Like, can you go actually see that area, or did they not get that specific in the report?
No, they did. They said the road and everything.
And did you go out there?
We pass by it all the time. There is a nature reserve, I guess you'd call it, there called Potato Creek, but it's really small.
But there's a waterway though, right? Potato Creek.
There's a lake. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lake and a creek and woods. So I guess, I mean, there could be Sasquatch there, I suppose, because
that area,
it just seems out of place.
That area sounds very squatchy to me.
I guess it could be. Yeah. Well,
yeah. I mean,
I'm not going to go find out, but.
Well, I mean, I think the one thing that we have learned, Jason and I, and the judge when he's with us, is that it does not, as long as there is a certain amount of cover and land that they could, it's not that they got to be staying there, but it's someplace that they could, as they pass through, that they could hang out for a little bit, get some, you know, hide out, get some water, get some food, you know, something like that. I don't think every place is a place that they necessarily live or reside. Yeah.
We are very close to Michigan, which as soon as you cross from Indiana, Michigan is all woods. And we're also near, I know there's a lot of reports from southern and central Indiana. So we're kind of sandwiched in between Michigan and the bottom of Indiana. So it could be, yeah. But you know, it's not too popular here, but, you know, I have my friend Eric, and he's been a great help. He's been a hunter and spent time in Michigan in the woods everywhere. And, he's had a lot of people on his podcast that have encounters in Michigan, you know, very close to where I am. So that's been interesting and brings a little more perspective that, you know, they are real. But for me, just the main thing that got me, you know, brought me over is just listening to people's encounters. And because are all these people liars? You know, it's like, you wouldn't say all these, probably tens of thousands of people are all lying. And,
yeah,
you know, these are incredible people. If a man has spent 40 years in a woods and he's a hunter, tracker, whatever, and he spent his whole life in the woods and he says he saw a Sasquatch. He has no reason to say that unless he saw it, you know, and he knows. I trust people who know the woods like that.
Exactly.
Yep.
So that's what kind of made me realize, okay, you know, this is real because people are seeing it all the time. And all the stories are consistent.
And listening to your, you know, you guys' encounter and where you came from at the beginning of it, and then how you took, like, at no time did you, while that stuff was happening, did you probably really think, oh, there's a Bigfoot out there?
No, we've never had Bigfoot on the brain. And I think it does, maybe when you are, you know, a fan of Bigfoot, whatever, and you go into the woods, a part of you is looking for something, you know. But then your brain can interpret something as something it's not. So us going in and having no concept of this and, you know, experiencing these things, it was, you know, it was a process.
Well, I hope, Joanna, that you guys are able to, like, go hiking and do some of the stuff that you guys enjoy again. I mean, yeah. And I would advise you to go do it while you can still outrun the kids, because if you do run into something, you know, that's the thing, is you don't have to outrun Bigfoot. You just got to outrun the next man.
One person, so, right?
One person,
I just outrun one person.
One person. Yeah. So if you're...
Well, my husband was willing to sacrifice himself, so I don't have to sacrifice any of the kids.
All right. He's just showing off now. He's just showing off now. But that's nice.
I said next time we go there, we're going to be armed. But I don't even know if that would make a difference. So, but no, we will. Next summer we'll go up there and we're going to start looking at land. And, you know, I think I just, now that I've kind of come to terms with everything, you know, I feel like, okay, it's time to go back and get back to doing what we love. And, you know, this is a place we want to spend a lot of our lives. And so, you know, it's either get over it or, you know, move on. So we will go back. We'll go back next summer, I'm sure. And, but now I have so much more information.
Yes.
And understanding that, you know, now I know if we're hiking, Bigfoot's not going to come out and eat us all. You know, that's not how it works. And even if we did have another encounter, it probably would not result in anybody's death. So, you know, and really you should be more scared of the bear and the other predators in the woods that don't have reasoning and awareness. Yeah. So I think the fact that Sasquatch have that awareness and intelligence is a good thing for humans. But yeah, so we will go back.
Yep, I agree with you, Joanna.
Yes. Well, Joanna, I'm kind of hoping that maybe next July I get this phone call and it's Joanna and I'm like, hello. And she's whispering, oh my God, it's in the bushes right here. You know,
I, that would be awesome.
be fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
Except
I'd probably pee my pants and pass out. So,
hey, that's all right. Just call. Make sure you call me first. Make sure.
Yeah, I'll shoot a text off.
We'll do an Instagram live. Well, Joanna, hey, I am so glad that you gave us a chance, despite somebody trying to tell the whole world that we sucked. I'm glad you gave us a chance and checked us out. I should try.
I am too. I am too.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I really like you guys. And, you know, I even go back and listen to older episodes when I have, you know, nothing new to listen to, that I'll just go back and listen to the old ones. I was listening to you guys right before I came home, one of your older episodes. So I like
when we were alive. When we were a lot less sophisticated and
right. No, it was a hunter in Georgia maybe, who had multiple encounters.
Oh,
it was a really good episode.
Yes, yes.
Old Happy Harris.
Where he pee himself and pass out. Actually did it.
Yeah. They're actually he and a guy from a couple episodes ago, Johnny Two Bears, are actually going back to that property where he had his encounter in.
Yeah, I started listening to their podcast like last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of Johnny. Yeah. They're going back to that property. They sent me a text. They're going back to that property in.
Oh, cool.
In January, and they're very excited. And they've invited Jason and I down. And unfortunately, Jason and I were just really busy and a lot smarter than that. But they're going back.
I don't know if I'm that much smarter. I want to go, but I know.
But
being busy, that's the problem.
They're going back.
Yeah, those guys are really out there.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's,
they're out in the woods, and I know they're brave.
Yes, and I think a lot of people underestimate how wild a lot of America is.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I had no idea, and my friend Eric, like, he's like, there's however million acres of, you know, woods in this country, and I'm like, whoa, I didn't even. Our world is so small to us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hard to wrap your mind around, but
right.
But Joanna, like I said, I'm glad you checked this out. I'm glad you spent New Year's Eve with me and Jason.
It's the best.
I like to think there'd be worse ways to spend New Year's Eve than with me and Jason, but I don't know, maybe not. But I thank you so much, and everybody out there listening. I hope you enjoyed Joanna as much as we did, and I hope that everybody has a safe New Year's Eve and is excited about 2022 as we are.
Very happy and fruitful New Year. Yes.
Very well said. So thank you, Joanna. And
thank you, guys.
And I'm looking forward to you guys going back and something happening and turning into another episode.
Just
remember, we're always looking for content. Just remember that. So yeah. If you have to really,
I'll dig something up for you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joanna.
Thank you, Joanna. Appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
1 savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.